have a couple of short announcements before Tom comes up. First, there's going to be a 24-hour of prayer, and there's a sign-up sheet. It'll be, a week from this Saturday. It'll start at 9 o'clock and run through till Sunday morning. So there's a space in there for you to fill out, you know, if you want to pray for an hour or 2 hours, but we'll do that right here in the prayer room during that week. Also, there's a Walking in God's Power intermediate class at Ken and Kim's house, which will start on that Friday, which is the 25th, and it will go, I think there's some sessions on Friday and Saturday, and the registration form is up on the table. And the last announcement I have is the bookstore says here that they are reverting to the Soviet-era receipt, the handwritten receipts today, so apparently the thing they use is going to be down, so they're just asking for your patience. Take a little bit longer to, get your bookstore stuff. So at this time, I'd like to bring up Tom to keep going here. So thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. This 24 hours of prayer, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, there are times where we just decide to sort of join together in an effort on praying for various things and praying for each other, and a lot gets accomplished in those 24 hours. So we do it all from here. You can't sort of phone in your prayer, but if you'd like to be a part of that, it's a wonderful thing. Those of you who've done it don't need me to sell you on that. I wouldn't sell you anyway, but you understand. If you haven't, it's a wonderful time of just realizing that you're a part of a real effort with a group of believers praying for certain things, and you come in for an hour or two. If you've never sat in one place and prayed for an hour or two, it's amazing how quickly the time goes by. And so, love to have you be a part of that. The other thing I wanted to let you know about in the bookstore is I don't think we've talked about this yet, have we? This just came in, right? There's a book here that I asked Lorraine to check into in order called Jesus Christ, Our Approach Offering. It's by David Berge, who some of you may know, some of you who came from the West Coast at one time or another, a good man and a man who's real faithful and honest with the Scriptures. And the reason I love this book and the reason I thought it would be a blessing to many of you, I'll just read you a couple paragraphs from the introduction, may I? And then you could tell me whether it applies or not. It says, "Much has been written about Christians' lack of purpose or vision for their own lives. Discovering what God has put you on the planet to do has become popular in Christian circles." You ever see those books? Like 40 million of them, right? What's my purpose? What am I? Me, me, me. This is symptomatic, he says, of our self-absorbed, narcissistic culture in which we live. Here's the part I like. This book is not about us, it's about him. This book is written to help you become immersed in Christ and his accomplishments at Calvary. As we view the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ and their after effects with precise clarity, our Christian walks will take on the power and purpose God intended. Lack of knowledge of what Christ accomplished induces the Christian to be preoccupied with lesser things. May this book help Christians to be absorbed more in Christ and less in themselves. Sounds good to me. This sounds like our past 4 or 5 Monday nights with the leaders too, doesn't it? So that's available to you. Bookstore's open today, correct? It's available to you today. Thanks, Wayne. Well, if you were here last week, you may have noticed a gap. It wasn't the gathering together. You didn't miss that, but we gathered together a lot of our teen believers and some of our adults as staff for our teen camp that we do every year, and it was just a marvelous time in God's Word. We handled the book of Acts. Josh and Claire and myself and Alfred Covington taught, and we had some wonderful staff, wonderful leaders, wonderful helpers, and we all survived, right? So it's sort of become a tradition after teen camp, and now I'm never going to promise you this will always be a tradition. You know, Josh and Claire, when in another 14 years, where are you? I saw you a minute ago. There you go. Another 14 years, may not have sharings, okay? Next year we might not, but this year, you know, I thought it would be a great time once again to have some of our folks who were a part of that teen camp and wanted to share, both the teens and any of the staff who'd like to, because I think we just learned some fantastic things this week, both individually and as a group, that you'd be blessed to hear about. So what I'm thinking is we've improved the system this year. Any of you who've done this before, know that we had to have somebody up here with a mic constantly adjusting it, because the way it would always work, they'd be like, Josh, come up, then Claire would come up, and then... And this year, we just have a big blue X. And as long as you stand on the X, they tell me, you'll be recorded perfectly, right? Every slight nuance will be preserved for posterity if you stand on the blue X. Okay, teens? There's only one X up here, so it's not confused. Do I stand on the blue X or the red X? There's only one X. Can't miss it. It's right here on the carpet next to me. If you stand, I'll show you. There it is, okay? If you stand here and they turn the mics on, everyone can hear you. So if any of our teens would like to come up, or any of our staff, maybe you could line up this way and share, and I'll send you off that way. And I don't have much more to say, so the sooner you come up here, a few of you anyway, the better. I see you stirring a little bit. Okay, good. And you know, I know some of you are sitting there debating, do I want to share or not? And up to a certain point, I sort of let you. When we're a half an hour into it and people start jumping up to share, I sometimes have to draw the line there. So, you know, if you're thinking about it, you keep thinking about it a little bit. And there's time for you to make up your minds. Well, we've got a good number of teens here. Oh, that's right. Our staff all went to Hawaii to recover. I think a few of them might be left. Maybe some of them will be sharing too. Well, as usual, what we have you do is come up and tell us, unless you're staff, tell us your name if you're staff, okay? But you don't have to tell us how old you are. If you're a camper, tell us your name, tell us how old you are, tell us how long you've been coming to teen camp. Any characteristic markings? No, just tell us your name, how old you are, how long you've been coming to teen camp. Maybe if you want to tell us that you were a leader or a dorm steward, anything like that would be nice, but mostly so, you know, people here can see you, but people who listen to the CDs may not know you, and knowing that you're a certain age and have been to teen camp a certain amount of time might bless them too, okay? Simple enough? So come on up, tell us your name, and the rest of it. Good.
All right. Well, hi, my name is Robert Donahue. I'm 20 years old, and this is my seventh year at teen camp. So, but despite being at teen camp 7 years, this was a wonderful time. It was, I don't know, I know a lot of the word, but it's still great to hear the simplest things. And one of the biggest things I learned this week more than ever was just my identity in Christ. It's so easy for me to think that I know it, but really it takes diligence to remember who I am in Christ, and that when I believed on Christ, those, like 2 Corinthians 5 says, old things passed away, and I'm no longer the same person I was before I believed. That once you believe on Christ, you're in Christ, and that you're not just a person anymore. You're a Christian, you're a son of God. You've got that spirit inside of you. You're capable of doing the things of the spirit, I guess. You're capable of walking in the spirit. And it's because you're not the same person. You're not the same person that was born. We've got a physical life, and we've got a spiritual life. We've got body, soul, and spirit. And when Christ returns, we're going to have the fullness of that new life. We're going to have new bodies, new brains, no aches, no pains. But it's like, you know, I realized that, and then that once you believe on Christ, you're completely brand new. Like, I'm not just Robert Donahue, 20 years old. I'm in Christ, and that's who I am, and I have just as much in common with all of you, because we've got the same spirit. We've got the same Father. Yeah. So that's probably the biggest thing I learned this year. So thanks.
Hi, I'm Don Musel. I'm 15 years old, and this is my second year at teen camp. It was like a really amazing year. We had a lot of things going on in the camp, and there was just stuff going on, but we went through Acts, and something that just hit me really hard was in Acts 16, Paul and Silas get thrown in jail and beaten, for speaking the word. And then they get out of jail. And because they went through all that, a guy and his family got born again, his whole household. But the crazy thing was, they could have gotten out of that. At any moment, they could have said, you know, we're Romans. And they could have been stopped and they would have been set free, but they knew what it was worth to God for those people to be born again. They knew how important it was to him that every man see the way of salvation. And they didn't know what was going to be on the other side. And they didn't exactly know that a whole household would get born again, but because of what was in their hearts and what had changed in their hearts, like how much love they had for God and how much they knew God loved them, like they decided to stand for God. And those stripes probably hurt for quite a while, but they knew what was beyond that. They knew they'd see those people in eternity. And I just want to exhort you guys to like realize, you know, we can change our hearts so that that's how our lives can be. You know, we can just live so that there's something bigger than the stripes that we might get for speaking the word, and that we don't have to be ashamed of it, because it is power to those who believe. And you know, it's life that we can offer. And it's just something so awesome that we learned this week. So I love you guys.
Yeah, I did want to mention we had, I think, 4 attempted suicides Friday night, didn't we? But those were all skits from Acts 16, so we did skits on Friday night, and Acts 16, Dawn reminded me, was pretty popular. So we had 4 different Philippian jailers. Was it 4 different Philippian jailers? Try to put swords through themselves? And none succeeded, however, they all got saved. So I don't remember your name. Why don't you come on up?
Hi, my name is Bridget Burke, and I was on staff this year at teen camp. And it was my first year being on staff, and I had an expectation of what a difference it was going to be being on staff as opposed to being a teen at teen camp. And it wasn't that different. I think I was just more willing to realize certain things that we all should know. One thing that really blessed me and that I'm still thinking about from this week was when we looked at Acts 8 and we saw how Philip was preaching the word to Samaria, and Peter and John came down from Jerusalem and helped them to learn to speak in tongues, helped them to receive and operate the spirit that they'd already been given. And what I was so blessed by was that there's no record or indication of hard feelings on Philip's part, and really no reason why there should be. You know, he loved those people, and he spoke the word to those people, loved them enough to go to Samaria to speak the word. But when it came to, you know, them operating the Spirit of God, he had no hold over them. He was blessed for other believers to come and take care of them and love them enough that there was no indication of self in his service. And it was neat because this week I kept thinking about what God's word says the love of God is and what it produces and what it does. And seeing that in Acts, seeing, oh, look at the love of God and look at how it's, you know, not thinking on itself, but thinking on other people. See how it's profitable. See what it produces. See, and I saw that in Acts, and the thing that blessed me was I began to see that at the teen camp as well, that those choosing to walk in love with one another don't feel the need to do everything for, you know, Bethany. And it blessed me so much being on staff, because there's a lot of kitchen things, there's a lot of things that I really have no knowledge of at all. You know, I don't know how to make a lasagna, I don't know how to do lots of things that the other women on staff have had plenty of experience doing. And the thing that blessed me so much was realizing that my part in it wasn't my experience that I bring to the table. My part in it was to love and to pray. And a lot of times that didn't mean that I had to do everything. And a lot of times it meant seeing a need in, you know, Bethany's life, for example. and not being the one that needed to take care of that. And loving her and loving God enough to recognize that I bring nothing to the table but what God's already given me. And if I'm not the one to take care of the need that she has, well, great. I love God enough to step back and pray. And just seeing clearly what a difference there is between the love of myself and the love of God. That if I love God, I do what he wants done. I don't overstep that line. And if Philip had done that in Samaria, you know, I don't know what would have happened. I can't say I know what would have happened. But what really blessed me to see was that it not only is available to do what God wants done, how God wants it done, but it's available to know that. It's available to expect that, to prepare for that. And what really blessed me was being able to serve and care for these teens this week and seeing how they loved one another, seeing how they took care of one another, and how I was blessed and thankful that I was able to bring something to the table as well, and I was able to love them with the same kind of love. And even if it meant I wasn't there when Bethany got to speak in tongues. You know, was I praying for her all week? Yeah. And it so blessed me because that's not a lesser part. Just because I'm not there where all the action is, just because I'm not there to tell these great stories of all the stuff that happened, my role is no less. And yeah, that was all.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Rausch. I'm 18. This is my fifth year at teen camp. And I learned a lot of stuff, but one of the things that really hit me was just in reading Acts, it's really easy to see how much they speak the word of God and how much they did, you know? But what was important was they spoke the word of God because they had the love of God for people and they had something to give. Like, I'm doing the outreach house next year and I'm going to be speaking the word to people, but I'm not going to be speaking the word to people because someone told me to. You know, or that doesn't mean I'm always going to feel like it, but I know from God's word, not from my own excitement or from any of these other things, but I know from God's word that there's deliverance available to people. You know, there are people in the world, like the staff did a skit, I don't have to tell you all about the skit, but they did a skit on Friday night? Yeah, on Friday night, and there were all these people standing in a line, and there was like the true thug, was Alfred. And there was like the tough cookie, which is Laura. And all these other things, these people that we look at and we're like, you know, and they were like, yeah, like, you know, like, I don't need you and stuff. But on the inside, they were like suicidal and like lonely. And what we have, it's so important to know what we have. That's what I learned. What we have to give, where people are and where they can be, where we were and where we are, you know? If we don't know that about ourselves, if we're not applying that in our own lives, you know, what do we have to give? I recognize so much how I need to spend time in God's word knowing what I have. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? There was another thing, like it was on long the same, like what Tom was talking about when he was reading the book cover. You know, it's not about you. It's not about, I don't know. When I go out there, I'm not going to be like, hey, I'm standing on God's word. I'm preaching God's word. But when do I get to God's word? You know? Like, all of us are so excited. All the teens are like, I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to stand on God's word. In order to do that, you should probably be thinking about God's word. And when you speak God's word to people, tell them about, you know, God's plan of redemption, where they were, but where they now are. So that suicidal person is no longer suicidal because they know they've been brought back to God, because they know they have a father, you know? Where that, I need to do it in my life, you know? That person who's insecure doesn't have to be insecure anymore because they know they're the righteousness of God. So that's what I learned.
Hi, my name's Abby Bailey. I'm 15 and this is my third year at teen camp. And what I wanna say sprang off from Josh's teaching that opened the week. And he talked about how we are witnesses because of the Holy Ghost that we got. The Holy Spirit that we got. And he talked about how a witness is someone who knows something is true and then speaks about it. So that got me thinking, you know, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I know the word of God. I know God loves me and everything, but do I know this is true? So the rest of the week, I went to the word myself, which is something I don't do as often as I should. But, and I saw how much the word of God is so essential, you know. Like, I've been good at praying a lot, you know, I'm good at being needy and telling God all my needs and everything, but but like going to his word and how important it is. I wanted to read one verse that Christina Williams showed me because she was in my fellowship, in John 17, in verse 17 it says, or verse 16, this is Jesus Christ praying, and it says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them or set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, we're set apart by this word. And I think that's so cool. And the word tells us so much, and it's available to have, to give so much to us, you know. It tells us about our Heavenly Father. It tells us, you know, like Caitlin and Robert was saying, it tells us about our identity in Christ. And it tells us about what we can do. And it gives us example after example of God. And that's really important if you're preaching God's word, to know the God whose word you're preaching. So that's all I wanted to say. I love you guys.
Hi, my name is Rachel McCaw. I'm 13 and this is my first year. There was one thing that hit me the hardest out of the entire week, and that was on Monday night. Tom did a teaching, and it was Acts 5, and he talked about Ananias and Sapphira and how they sold this plot of land and they had all this money but that they were going to give to the church, but they kept part of it and then told the church that it was all the money that they were giving, you know? And it's like, we shouldn't just do things for show. We shouldn't just do things to look spiritual or to look cool or whatever, you know? We should do them because we have the right heart to, you know? So that's what really blessed me this week.
I'm Sarah McCracken, and this is my first year, and I'm 14. And, well, this year I got to be dorm steward, even though it was my first year. And, well, being a dorm steward, you kind of have to make sure everyone in the room is in bed at night. They're at 12 o'clock when we had to be in bed. And, but even though I was just a dorm steward, you have to make sure that... you have to make sure everyone in the room is just okay spiritually and physically. And I did have also someone else who I really looked up to was Missy O'Donnell. And she was also the other dorm steward in our room, and she was just a great example to me and probably to everyone else in the room too. And the great thing was about her was she had a great heart, and she really she had a great heart for God, and she really I'm not sure what the word is for it, but she was just a great example for me and probably for everyone else. So I'll just share.
Hi, I'm Kristen Kelly. I'm 17, and this was my fifth year at teen camp, I think. And I got to be a leader this year, which was really cool. But one thing that really hit my heart this week was Tom's last teaching that we closed with. And okay, so you know how Luke wrote Acts? And it's kind of like telling a story. You know, he'd be like, they went to Macedonia, or they, you know what I mean, if you've read Acts. But I think it was in like five places that the they switched to a we. So you see that Luke was with them. And in chapters 21 and 27, were two of the places, I think. You can look for yourself. But in one of those was where Paul was on his way to Jerusalem. And, you know, Luke was with him and everything. And then Agabus, the prophet, he tells him, you know, like, God says, don't go to Jerusalem. He even bound his own hands and feet. Like, this is what they're going to do to you, you know? And then Paul joins in and tells him not to go to Jerusalem. And Paul refuses to listen to them. But in the next verse, it says, like, we kept on going, you know? And the first time I read that verse, I was like, geez, Luke just, you know, he gave in. He's like, you know, not realizing that this was sin. But that wasn't the case, you know. You realize when you look at it later, like in chapter 27, that Luke loved him. He didn't realize, he didn't see Paul's sin as anything but sin, but he had the love of God for him, and he didn't give up on him. You see later in chapter 27, you know, like after Paul made this giant mistake, this big sin where the whole church suffered for it, you know, and he was in jail for like 2.5 years or something like that. And in chapter 27, I think he's on a boat to have a trial in Rome or something, and it's we again. You know, Paul screwed up big time, and he wasn't the only one who suffered. The whole church of God suffered. But it was still we there. And in 2 Timothy, at the end of it, you know, where at the time the whole church was kind of doing its own thing, you know, and Paul is saying, like, Demas has forsaken me, and all these people are turned away, and all of Asia is turned away from me, but Luke is still with me. And, you know, we don't see sin as anything but sin. We don't budge on that. But the love of God is, it's never wrong to have the love of God, you know. And one thing that Tom said that really hit me was, like, you know, we're not all going to be Paul's, but we can all be a Luke, and there's not a Paul in the entire world who doesn't need a Luke to love them when they screw up. Like, you've never screwed up before, you know. The love of God never fails. When Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to do one thing, it was to love one another, you know. So no matter if your personality is like, oh, well, I don't know if I can really do that, or, you know, I haven't really stood that much in the past, it's like, you have the love of God in you. It's in your genes now. You were born with it when you got born again, you know? So, you know, we can all be Lukes. Pretty much so myself.
Hi, I'm Jeremy McCracken, and I'm 17. This was my fourth year at teen camp. And like so many other people have explained, like really one of the greatest things that's happened in Acts was the love of God that these people showed to each other. And like so many miracles happened and signs that God worked in them. But still the greatest thing was the love they had, because that's completely foreign to the world. The world tries all the time by their own flesh to be able to basically to love like Christ did, but you can't do it anyway except by Christ. And Christ died for us so that we could be righteous, and we can see each other as righteous and holy because Christ died for us, and we can see the love, or we can have his love in our heart, and we can just keep putting that in our heart. Like, you don't want to fake it either, because it's better to be honest in how far that you are with your relationship with God spiritually. And we have love for each other, so there's no point in faking it anyway, because people are still going to love you and see you as righteous, because that's who God's made you to be. So it doesn't matter. It's not going to, how your relationship is with God isn't going to affect how people see you. So you can, that just, it's really freeing. Because what you're going to do is going to be out of the right heart. You're going to want to serve God for the right heart, not because someone told you to. Or just because that's the law. And now what Christ has done, it's free, and it's by grace, and we can just keep looking to that. So, thank you.
My name is Edward. I am 17 years old, and this was my fourth year teen camp. And this week was just like, it was amazing growth in God's word, and how we got to see the body work together. Even from the youngest ages of 13, how they stood for God and how they could even go up to people that they look up to who were doing things that are unprofitable, and to speak to them about that, you know, and it did click in my head, you know. It's not by age or gender or anything like that, you know. If all our ministries are functioning in the body of Christ, we can do it through the love of God. But if even one ministry starts to fail, it does affect the body, you know. And going into this week, I knew I needed to change some stuff because I had stuff to do, and I needed my mind and my heart to be on God's word coming into this week. And the past teen camps that I did go to, I did grow from them. But going home, like after a month or so, I'd fall flat on my face and realize why it didn't work. Because it was emotions that got to me, that I was blessed emotionally. You know, my heart wasn't blessed. I just felt blessed because I was going there for the wrong reasons. And this week, you know, a lot of things had to be changed and a lot of things had to be done for just the love of God to be shown. And just building that connection with God, you know, building that relationship with Him is just so vital. And over that week, you know, I learned so much, and I could use that knowledge that I learned, which I can stand upon to help other people. And it wasn't just all about me, what I can get, me. You know, there was other brothers and sisters that needed help, you know, needed just even to talk, you know. And halfway through the week, you know, people were getting comfortable and, you know, stuff was happening, and we all had to be reproved about it. But like straight after that, a couple hours after that, the whole camp was quiet. And in a good way, they were, you could see the body working, how people were going up to each other, you know, taking care of each other, going reading the word or going praying or even just talking, you know. And it wasn't people running around in the mud and jumping into ditches anymore and stuff like that, you know. They were setting their hearts for God's word, and they were putting on their new eyes. Like, we all have the ability to do it. It's, we still have to make that choice moment by moment, are we going to do it or not, you know. A lot of people did want to come away from this camp with that knowledge and stand upon it. And we know that when we do come away from these camps, we still have to make that decision. It's not a 1 week thing where we recharge our batteries and it's good for the next year, because it's not going to work that way, you know. And just so many things happened this week that I could stand here all day talking to you, but I'm not going to do that. But it was just a blessing. Just so much of a blessing to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ and have that love for God that God has given us. And just, that's what I wanted to share with you guys.
Hi, I'm Catherine. I'm 18. This is my 5th year teen camp. This camp, it was definitely a blessing of going. Like Tom said, was open, like have new eyes, and you can see a lot more things a lot more clearly. And during a teaching, one thing that really blessed me was, I forget who taught it, but it was, if you go teach a word to someone, they might just like brush you off or something, but like you planted a seed in their heart. And once that seed is planted, maybe like a year or so, 5 or whatever, after that seed was planted, they can probably like remember what you taught them or something, and they just got born again, and they can call you or whatever. And it was just really cool, and because that just reminded me of school, and I was like, oh, they don't want the word. And it was like the staff's skit about, oh, they don't need this because of like their culture or how they are. But it was really cool, and it was really nice to see with your new eyes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and I'm 20 years old. This was my first year at teen camp, and I think it might be my last. It's a sad thing to say, but I would like to go again. But I guess just going in to the camp, I didn't really know what to expect, except for we were looking in Acts, and some stuff that you see in Acts is you see men walking in the Spirit, and they're walking in love, and that was something that I had endeavored to do in my own life, was to, you know, walk spiritually, and you know, I had the desire there to want to love my brother and my sisters in Christ and to operate my ministry. But God just really showed me some things this week that really helped me to see how I can do that and helped me to see what I was doing and that it wasn't what I needed to do in order to walk in the Spirit. And what you really see is that I can't make the Spirit work and that the Spirit works through me. And I guess really what I want to say is that just by putting the Word of God in your mind and putting off the flesh, that it takes, the Word goes into your heart, you know, and then the more you put on the Word, the more you see that there's flesh there, you know, and just putting off that flesh and putting on the Word, and it's a continually thing. And that, you know, I can't walk in my flesh and expect to see the Spirit work in my life, and I won't have the fruits of it either. I can't imitate the fruits of the Spirit if I'm trusting in my flesh, and I just seen a lot of that, and thank God for the grace of God, that He does have grace for it, that we are in grace, and that when I realized that, you know, in our flesh lies no good thing, and but we have another way, you know, and I just wanted to read some things for you guys in Ephesians. It just really blessed me. It's Ephesians 3, and I'll start in verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access through confidence, through faith, with confidence through faith in Him, which is talking about Christ Jesus. And therefore I ask you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. And this part really blesses me. It's verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, it takes our believing for Christ to be in our heart, you know, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, that power works in us. We can't, you know, expect to just automatically be working it if we're not putting the Word in our heart, you know, and the Word of God says that Jesus will dwell in our hearts by faith, you know. We do have the Spirit, but in order to operate that Spirit requires putting off the flesh, putting on the Word of God, and just allowing it to work through us. And when that happens, we still need to go back to the Word, you know, because it's not like it's automatic going to take over and we're going to be believing. It still requires believing. But I guess that really blessed me at this camp, was really seeing how, you know, we can't depend on our flesh for anything. You know, just put that off. It's, you know, there's no good thing in it. So.
Hi, I'm Christina Williams. I'm 18, and this is my fifth year at teen camp. John 15:12 says, it's Jesus Christ talking. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And that's just really neat. Like, out of all the things that He could have commanded them to do, like, for what He was about to do for those people, He could have said, like, I don't know, just live your life for me since I'm giving my life for you, and that would be okay. But no, He says, love one another with the love that I've loved you with. Just love one another. And that's just so awesome. Like, I think it was Edward who was saying that each of us has our own ministry, and each of us, our identity is in Christ. And when we're all loving one another and walking with God, it shows so much, and people's ministries just become apparent. And we love one another even when we do mess up, you know? Like Peter, he messed up so many times, like, but, and Paul messed up big time, like it's been said, but Luke stayed with him. And on Mars Hill, when Paul was teaching about Jesus Christ, they had all their gods and stuff, and some of them said, "Oh, you're stupid, you're a fool." They mocked him. And some said, "Oh, well, yeah, we'll hear about this Jesus Christ." And he left. He departed from among them, because that's what was needed to be done. But this isn't Mars Hill. Like, we're all a part of a body of Christ, and we all love one another, even when a brother or sister messes up, you love them, and that's really something that I got out of the week. Just blessed me a lot, so thanks.
Hi. Well, I'm the X. Hi, I'm Antoine Burke. This is my fifth year, I think, and I'm 17. I had the privilege of being a fellowship leader this year, and I came into the weekend. I love being a fellowship leader. I love serving God in that way. I love it. I came in and I was ready to do it, you know, and then I got my fellowship. And I saw the names, and these were kids that had more diligence with the word than I did, and it scared me, you know? It's like they had a greater knowledge of the word than I can honestly say I had, and I freaked out. And then we read Titus 3 in the Leaders Weekend, and that's what we went through, Titus. And the first two chapters, like chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's your responsibility is to give them the doctrine and to be an example of the doctrine in your life. As a leader, that's what you are to do. And 1 Timothy 4:16 really blessed me too. It's just the first part of it is what I remembered. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. That's my responsibility. It's not a different thing for each person. It's the doctrine. That's what I'm to feed them. Doctrine in my life, a doctrine in my words. And Titus 3 was the one that just got to me. It deals with compassion a lot, is the part that hit me, I guess. And it's not just, it's why we have compassion. I can feel bad for a bug that's caught in a window and dying, you know what I mean? But that's not the compassion I'm supposed to have for my brothers and sisters, you know? It's not the same thing. I have compassion because compassion was shown unto me. I have compassion because Jesus Christ gave his life for me, and God showed me mercy and grace that I needed. And I see that lack in other people's lives. I see that need for mercy and grace, and that's why I have compassion on them. My brothers and sisters and those in the world. And that was just kind of, throughout the week, it's like, I can do that. That's something, I'm not gonna get up to everyone in my fellowship's knowledge of the word in 1 week, obviously. But I can have compassion, you know? I can walk with God enough to know what's needed in their lives. And kind of in the middle of the week, I don't remember what day it was, but kind of forgot it a little bit, and then there was teaching, and it's like Peter in Acts is the same Peter that was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know what I mean? The same Peter that you see just do stupid stuff, you know what I mean? And if I'm going to serve, if I'm going to be a leader, I have to get over what I've done, or else I'm never going to do it. Peter had in his life, there had to be that changing moment for him, you know? It's not based on what I've done. It's not based on stupidity, you know? It's not based on my senses, my fleshly, what I'm good at, you know what I mean? It's based on what God's made me to be. And Peter had that moment where he had to change. I have to have that moment where I have to change. There's no way he could have gotten up on the day of Pentecost and said the things he said to all those people, you know, if he hadn't gotten over what he had done Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, the whole rest of his life, what, you know, rejecting Christ. If he hadn't gotten over that, he would never be able to do the stuff that he did all through Acts. And I can see those acts and I can say, yeah, I want to do that, but I have to have the heart to do it first or I'm going to burn out real quick. And yeah, those are just, it wasn't a week of emotions, at least for me. It was a week of decisions. What I'm going to do with my life, how I'm going to do it. And I was talking with my fellowship and a couple of them were like, I just hope to stand. And it's not a hope thing, you know, it's not a, oh, I'm just gonna cross my fingers, I get it right. God's shown you everything you need to get it right, you know? And it doesn't have to be a fadeaway thing, you know? Read the word, go to God, pray, fight for each other, you know? It's so simple, yet it's, I hope, I wish, maybe it'll happen this year. It doesn't have to be that. It's going to happen this year. I'm gonna do it this year. If you don't make that decision at the camp, you're not gonna do it outside of camp. And it was like I was speaking words to my fellowship and they were correcting me at the same time, you know. I was speaking what I need to say to them, it's like, right before I said it, I'd be like, wow, that's just what I need to hear, you know. It's like, just because I'm a leader doesn't mean God isn't going to take care of what I need. And it was just, it was a great week. And that's it.
Hi, I'm Christy and I'm 16. This is my fourth year at teen camp. And I'm just going to like read you guys something that blessed me a lot. It's in Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And it says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It's just like he was being killed in the heart he had to ask God to forgive the people who were killing him. Like, when Jesus Christ is being crucified, like, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Like, that takes heart. Like, when you're being beaten and killed to be able to do that and not just say, well, why are you doing this? It just, it takes a lot of heart to do that. And Angeline was my fellowship leader. And, like, the second day of teen camp, she sat down with me and she's like, I know a lot of the time you feel lonely. And I was like, I never told her that. Like, it was weird. But, like, God told her that. And I know because I never told anyone that before, really. And it was just, it cut straight to my heart because that's the body of Christ at work. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, it's talking about Saul and how he became blind for 3 days. And it says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which were called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound into the chief priests? Like, Saul killed Christians. He hated them. He made it his job to stop the spread of God's word. And just, it's God's word can cut to someone's heart. It can change them. And who are we to say, oh, that person won't believe, when they might? You never know. And just, I don't know. We just need to speak. It's not our word. It's not up to us if they believe it or not. But, and Tom or someone was talking about how a lot of times God has a lot of things he wants done, but he just doesn't have a man that has the heart to do it. And just, you could be that person that goes out there and just gives their heart to God and says, well, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll go where you need me to go. And just, yeah, so that's what blessed me.
Hey, I'm Lauren Donahue. I'm 15. This is my second year at teen camp. And what I learned at teen camp was, like, how much the devil is trying to steal the word away from us and how much we need to keep it in our hearts. Like, Tom says it all the time, everybody says it, but I never really realized it until I realized how much I didn't have it in my heart, you know? And like, the last night at teen camp, I got in an enormous fight with one of my closest friends that I've known for almost 10 years. And I couldn't help her because I couldn't teach her what was the truth because I didn't know the truth, you know? And like, it was like the last night, the night we needed to be really helping each other. Like, we need to help each other all the time, but we were going out into the world and like right back into the world, and people were like, they needed the body, you know? And And then, like, when we, everybody was, like, Saturday when everybody was leaving, it was raining really hard, and, like, somebody fell into a ditch, not, like, their car fell into a ditch, and they couldn't get out, but, and everybody was just praying for them, and we got stuck on this hill where it was, like, really rainy and crap, and people were praying for them, and it's, like, the devil's trying to steal us away from us as fast as he can. He doesn't want us to believe it, and the only way we can, like, keep it in our hearts is if we, like, constantly bring it back to us, like, lead every thought captive to Christ. And I'm pretty much quoting what one of the other girls at teen camp told me, but it was the truth, you know? This is a spiritual battle. We've already won the war, but we're still fighting. This isn't just passive, this is aggressive. We have to go out and fight, and we have to know who we really are, you know? We have to have the truth in our hearts, because if the arm of the body of Christ, if Christ is telling the arm to swing the sword and it's too afraid because it doesn't know who it is and it doesn't realize, like, what God has made it to be, what God has brought it to, how are we going to push the devil back, and how are we going to bring somebody else to salvation, you know? And I guess, like, I know where to start now, and I don't want this year to be like last year, and, like, for anybody, you know, I want to, like, walk out on the word, and, like, I know where to start, like, Romans 1 through 8, you know, why does it come before Romans 12? Because we have to know that before we can, like, perform what's in 12, you know? And so, it's like, what's our identity, you know? Am I going to be Lauren Donahue, little sister of Robert, Brian, Nathan, and Michael, or am I going to be Lauren... Or am I going to be Lauren Donahue, who has been called to the body of Christ, who is seated in the heavenlies, who has the Spirit of God Almighty inside of her, you know? What am I going to choose to be this year? And I need the body of Christ to help me believe that and help me, like, stand upon that. So thanks, you guys.
Hey, I'm Max Mraz. I'm 15, yeah, and this is my second year at teen camp. And one of the things that was taught about was Philip, that Saul came to Jerusalem and everybody was scared of him and they were all scattered around all around. And Philip, he went to Samaria, and that was a big thing because the Samaritans were the Jews pretty much hated them. They weren't really on good terms, but Philip went and spoke the word of life to them, even though nobody else had really done that before. It can be like that with us. Like, a lot of times we see, I do at least, I see people on the streets and I'm intimidated by their looks or how they act, or people at school, and I don't think to speak the word to them at all because I'm intimidated or I don't like them very much. But it shouldn't be like that. We can't just think that, or we can't just look at other believers and see that if none of them have preached the word to this person, then that's how it can be for every, then that's how it should be, that's what I should do. We can't just follow each other's example. What we need to do is to just walk with God and ask him where we need to go to speak the word. And whatever God tells us to do, that's what we need to do. We can't just go with, you know, whatever has been our habit. We just need to walk with God, and that really hit me this teen camp, and it blessed me a lot, and I thought I'd tell you guys. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Dominic, and I'm 16, and this is my second year at teen camp, and I'll make sure I'm on the books. The biggest thing I learned was what the love of God is, what it truly is, and it's not being nice, and it's not patting somebody on the back and saying, oh, it's okay, you'll get it next time. But it's to correct somebody when they really need it. And Tom's last teaching really cut to the heart, and how when somebody stumbles off the word, you don't shut the door and leave them out in the rain, because what if they want to come back? Nobody has a heart to listen. And he said, you don't check them off your list, because if you do, there's not going to be anybody left but Jesus, because everybody's going to fall sometime in their life. And it really cuts to the heart of what the love of God is. And another one of his teachings, just, you teach the word to everybody, and he said, you're going to look foolish. He says, to the world, you're going to look foolish. And even in the word, it says, to the Jews, it's foolish, it's a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, it's foolishness. But you need to spread it and give it to everybody, because if God tells me, go to downtown Columbus and preach the word in a chicken suit, I'm going to look foolish to people. But you know what? If I get one person born again, then it was worth it. To look foolish to the world and to look stupid to the world is worth getting at least one person believing. And just the love of God is so amazing. And I mean, it's, I mean, I'm just blessed listening to all this stuff that people did at teen camp. And I mean, I feel like I'm back there. And it's just the love of God, truly, when it really exists, it, the body can mend and heal itself. And that's just what I had to share.
Hi, I'm Mark Musel. I'm 13. It's my first year at teen camp. Teen camp really changed me. I mean, I don't know. It was so amazing just to look at these teens in a new light. I mean, they're great. They love you so much. On Wednesday night, in the evening, we were just walking around and like it was quiet and stuff. But so many people just came up to me and said, do you have any needs? And that blessed me so much. I mean, you'll never find that in the world. That's the love of God. That's something that you can't have unless you have the love of God. And you can't love people that way. It's just so amazing. And I know a lot of people have talked about the love of God in their sharings and stuff, but I see why. It's really amazing. It's like just a great thing to have. I don't have anything else to say. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Daniel Jobin. I'm 19, and this is my fifth year at teen camp. And what really hit my heart was just seeing how truly important walking in the Spirit is. You know, I've walked without walking in the Spirit before, and there's people that go on hurting, and there's people that need things. Well, it's time for that to stop. Let's make a stand, you guys. Let's start walking in the Spirit. Because we need to stop selling God short of everything that He has given us. He's done way too much for us, and I'm sorry, hold on. And I don't know, there's way too much that needs to be done, and there's way too much that God needs to work in us, and we need to listen, we need to be quiet. We need to see what truly needs to be done, because the Word of God is a very powerful thing, and I saw that. And let's treat it powerful. Let's give it its respect. And another thing I saw was, you know, it's easy to hang out with your friends or people that you have stuff in common with. That's not how God wants it to be. God set up the body to where everyone is there for everyone. I don't care if you don't like the same thing. I don't care if they look completely different than you. It's He set it up to where all our needs will be met, and we will be taken care of. And let's stop selling God's word short. Let's stop selling Him short, and just love each other with the love of God. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Andrew Luden. I'm 20. I think this is my eighth year at teen camp. This year, I had the privilege to be able to be a leader, which is, you know, at least for me, something that I consider a huge privilege, because I get to take care of God's people. It's not because it's some position that looks important or however people want to view it in a worldly kind of way, but it's an opportunity to be able to serve the body of Christ and take care of their needs. And one of the biggest things I saw this week, and wasn't something that I hadn't seen before, but something that I saw with even more importance, is that, you know, we do walk by faith, not by sight. We don't do the things of God half-heartedly. You know, we don't just sit around when there's a crisis, we turn to God and believe Him, and then when there's not, we go back about doing, you know, our regular things in life. And it might look nice, and it might be a pretty easy, conflict-free life, but it's not what God's called us to. It's not, you know, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. It's cheating ourselves out of what we could have, you know. If we're going to live for God, we do it wholeheartedly. We decide to believe His word, and that's a decision we make, you know, every day. And, yeah, sometimes we might mess up. I mess it up all the time, but that's why it's great that it's not you sign a contract for God and I'm going to stand, and if you mess up, you're done forever. It's every thought is, am I going to do the word? Am I going to believe what my identity is in Christ? Or am I going to forget that and do what the senses are telling me? You know, but just seeing how important it is that we decide if we're gonna do the things of the world, might as well just do them wholeheartedly, because Christ still is going to come back for us and we're still going to be at the return. But if we want to live for God, let's do it with our whole heart and do it for real, not just when crisis comes about or when we get really pumped up because a camp, a good conversation, emotion, whatever, but it's able to be done without that. You know, we see who we are in Christ and we decide to believe it and walk, is being in that middle ground, you know, deciding, oh, I'm going to believe now, but next time, I don't know. Just being torn between those two things, you're not going to have any fruit, and you're constantly going to be under attack from the world and not even going to be able to stand against it, you know? And that's one of the things I saw, and again, just how important the love of God is, that we operate it as it truly is. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a refinement of a fleshly thing, but it's a spiritual thing, just like everything else that God's given us. And that's all I have, so.
I'm Brendan Kelly, I'm 19, this is my seventh year at teen camp, and it was just cool because this year, all the years before that I've gone, we've been learning about doctrinal things like with Ephesians or Romans, and you know, the doctrinal epistles or books like that. But you go to Acts and you see examples of them living. You see examples of them living the stuff that you know, that we already know. And it was, you know, yeah, I'm going to be talking about the love of God again, but it's because it's so important. It's something that you see the only reason, you know, the reason that they were able to do the things they did and that they got the fruit that they did was because they were walking with that love of God. It, you know, when you have that, it changes motivations. It changes so many things that, you know, it just changes how you see things. It changes how you think, and it's for the better, though. You see that, you know, how the guys with Paul and Luke and all the guys in Acts, when they were walking in love, you know, that the word of God mightily grew and prevailed because of this. You know, you see with Acts 16, you know, that there was a time where Paul basically got taken into prison. He was whipped. He was beat because, you know, he was speaking the word. And at any time, he could have stopped it because he was a Roman citizen. You can look at the record, but you know, it's something he could have stopped at any time and just told them, you know, he's a Roman citizen. They would have stopped doing whatever they were doing, but because he didn't, because he kept going with it, because he had the love of God that he, you know, it's so. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Love of God, you know, doesn't seek her own." That because he wasn't looking for himself. That it's like, oh, I don't really want to get beat today, so I'm going to bust out that I'm a Roman citizen, so they're going to stop. It's like, you know. Because he did that, he ended up getting, you know, the jailer and his whole household born again. And you just see that how, you know, you have the love of God, and that it's something that does so much, and it changes so much about just how we think and how we do things. And it's, you know, it's just something that I definitely saw that I need to walk in, you know, that I need to walk in more. But it's a decision we can make and something that, you know, God's told us we can do. So there's no reason that we should have any problem believing that. So that's for sure.
Hi, I'm Jessica Musel. I'm 17, and this is my very first year at teen camp. The first teaching, Josh, he said that the disciples were given one commandment, and that was to preach the word. You know, go tell that old story. And yeah, we're going to look stupid. We're going to look foolish. We're going to look crazy to everybody. But get used to it. We offer truth. We offer power. We offer the wisdom of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the stars, everything. And Alfred, he said it just perfectly. As sons and daughters of God, we have full rights to his name. But the value of a name depends upon the resources of the Father. And guess who our Father is? God. I mean, he created everything. What could he possibly withhold from his children? We are his children. We got to get used to embarrassment, mocking, anything that the world can throw at us, and they will throw at us all the time as much as they can. But it's our choice who we please, because we can choose to please man or choose God. You know, choose to hear the cheers of God or the cheers of man. And that is a second by second, a daily choice. And if you choose truth, you're going to be a target constantly. Driving out of teen camp, a tree fell right in front of our car. And God told me to break, you know, like it was like 3 feet in front of the car. And I braked, didn't know why, and then the tree snapped. It's like, okay, we're out of teen camp and back into the world. And then I got home and found out that my friend has been in a coma for the past 3 days. And I called a bunch of the believers and just a lot of prayer. But like, stuff gets thrown at us all the time, and we got to be there for each other. The world's not going to be there for us. You know, you guys here, the believers in Africa, whoever I haven't met, anybody who has ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ can be there for me, for you guys, in prayer, even if we've never met him ever before. So we have to treat that word with power, with conviction. It is a spiritual battle, guys. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Brian Donahue. I'm 20, and this is my seventh year at teen camp. And Brendan Burke was my fellowship leader this year, and I got to see his heart for the word and his heart to stand on the word. And, you know, just seeing that it wasn't because someone told him to do it that he wanted to do it. He wants to stand on the word because he gets to walk with God. That's his motivation. And just having that heart to see that's why you do it. You know, you want to see signs, miracles, and wonders. It's not going to happen every time. God doesn't promise that. You want to feel good about what you're doing. It's not going to feel good all the time. It's not going to please everyone around you, and it's definitely not going to make you glorious. We're glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. But to walk with God, that is a privilege. It's an honor. It's not a chore. And you know, like if Brendan said, let's go down to the convenience store and preach the word to people, you know, God's there too. He's like, yeah, Brian, let's go preach the word to people. And it's not, he's not condemning you. He's not saying you better go or I'm not going to love you anymore. He's, no, I love you. Let's go. I'm calling you to do this. It's an invitation, and it's a privilege to do that, to walk with the creator of all heaven and earth. So that's it.
Hi everyone, I'm Lyric Hansen and I'm 15, and this was my second year at teen camp. And just what really hit me this year was, I mean, it's something that we hear over and over again, and I don't know, it's about the heart, you know? It's something that I've been taught since I was little. It's all about the heart. It's not about what it looks like, what's on the outside. It's about the heart, and having a heart that's loving and kind and that wants the things of God. And you know, but this week it really clicked for me, you know, because seeing all the things they did in Acts, all the works, they cast out devil spirits, people were healed, like laymen just got up and started jumping around and dancing and praising God. And you look at it and you think, man, that's so cool, I'd love to be able to do that. But what they had before that was, they had a heart for God, you know, they loved him, they wanted his word, they wanted other people to know. And it wasn't because of things of self that they were like, oh yeah, I'm going to go out and heal people and all that stuff, but it was because of the heart. And coming into the week, that I didn't have that, because my heart wasn't in the right place. It was,
I came in and the first thing that I saw people who were younger than me were dorm stewards or fellowship leaders or people who hadn't been in the Word as long, and I got jealous because I was looking on the things of the flesh like, man, how cool would it be to come in and be like a dorm steward or a fellowship leader? And it's like, that's not what it's about. You know, like Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to look good, their heart wasn't, and they dropped dead. I don't think that's going to happen to me, but, you know, I want to have that, I don't want to have a heart that's like, it looks good. It's like a piece of fruit, like an apple on the outside, if it's all shiny and then you bite into it and it's just mush and you're not going to want that apple, you're going to want it, you know, it's everything inside, because when we believe we got spirit and we have a heart that can love and we have a heart that can forgive and we have a heart that can seek the things of God, and you know, putting that on is not easy. Trying to live that, it's not easy, but you know, when you see the power of God and you see how much he can do for you when you have that heart and you put that on and love other people with it, then it's amazing how much he can work in your life. And yeah, it was just one of those basic things, but you know, when it finally clicks, you just realize, man, why don't I want to be living like this? Why would I want anything else? And that's just, you know, realizing that it's the heart and nothing that comes after. Like Simon the Sorcerer, because he wanted to pay because he saw the works. It's like, oh, that'd be so great. And he wanted to pay for it. He wanted something in the flesh so he would look great in the flesh. But it's all about the heart. Because a lot of times, I know at least I get fooled in thinking, well, if the works are right, if the works look good, then the heart's going to follow. But it's completely the other way around. It's if your heart is in the right spot, and if your heart is where it's supposed to be, then everything else is just going to happen, because you'll be walking with the love of God, and you'll be walking with God. And what's going to need to happen will happen if you're doing that. So that's what I got out of the week.
My name's Tom. It's my 457th year at Teen Camp. Oh, I did get a postcard here. It said, we had a great time at camp too. Aloha, the staff. So, now we had Bridget up here representing the staff, and the rest of them I know all have things to share too. But, you know, probably more people ask to be on staff at Teen Camp or somehow be a part of Teen Camp. It's obvious why. And if we said yes to everybody, it would no longer be Teen Camp, would it? But it's always my prayer that these Sundays, when we take the time to hear these sharings, it's not a teaching from the Word of God, but boy, if you have ears to hear, there's sure a lot of the Word of God in there. And thank you for your prayers this week, and today you've seen the fruit of those prayers, as well as the fruit of some faithful believing in the hearts of these teens. So thankfully you could be a part of this with us this morning, and we're going to close out with another song. Right, Robert?
Yes, it seems like I'm
okay.
Number 80, Send the Light.
God bless.
Thanks, Tom.
There's a call comes ringing on the rest. The blessed gospel light, let it shine.
Thank you.